I would like to say welcome to everyone on this day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Brethren, it's obvious, and we've known for some time now, that our God has been revealing more about himself to his church, the Church of God, PKG. And we know that there's nothing on the face of the earth more exciting than learning more about our God. And it's a wonderful thing to understand more about the one that created everything, the Creator God. And we understand that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And our God has been leading us more and more into the truth of who he really is and who his Son, Jesus Christ, really is. And we have more understanding today than we ever have had in the past. And the Spirit leads those who are called and chosen in the truth, the Holy Spirit. And that's how it's done. The true God is the God of truth. And our God wants us to know more about him. And he wants us to know what he is doing and what he is ready to do. He is getting ready to send his kingdom to this earth. The title today at this Feast of Tabernacles will be, A Kingdom is Coming. Be turning to 2 Peter 1, and we'll start in verse 1. 2 Peter 1 and verse 1. And let's see what God had recorded for you and me. And it says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Let's notice what saith. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him, who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we can see that God has made promises. And that's what we're here celebrating at this Feast of Tabernacle, a promise from the great God of this universe that he will come and set up a kingdom upon this earth. And it's by the knowledge of who our God is that makes where we are heading very exciting, brother. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness. So we can see God had recorded in his book a way of life, and we are to heed the instructions of our God. In verse 7, it continues, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful, and let's notice what's said, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are certain things our God requires of you and me, those that he has given his Spirit to, the Holy Spirit. And in verse 9, he had recorded, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. And in verse 10, God tells us, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. We are living in the most perilous times in the Church of God. but it's also the most exciting times for the Church of God. To live at the end, when so many of the prophecies that God had written in this book, His Bible, will be fulfilled. And to see the things that your eyes will see, some that are sitting in this room, some will see a kingdom that is coming to this earth. And God tells you and me to be diligent and make our call and election sure. And He tells us that if we do these things, we will never stumble. And in verse 11, He tells us that an entrance will be supplied. Let's notice. Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we can see a promise from our God that if we do these things, that He will supply an entrance into the kingdom that is coming to this earth. And Peter tells us, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. And we've come to understand more and more about this present truth and how God leads you and me in the Church of God. But I like the way that he stated this, because down through time, the people of God have been allowed to see the truth that they needed to see in the time period that they lived in. And it's the same for you and me. So it's a good way that he stated it, the present truth, because that is the way that God leads his church. Peter says, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And he did. God recorded it in his book for you and me. And he's reminding us, even to this day, through the words that he was given by the great God of this universe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 12 and verse 18, let's take a look and see what verse 18 tells us. Hebrews 12 and verse 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempests, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more. Verse 20. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said. So we can see that what Moses said. I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. So we can see with the events that they saw back in those days that it was frightening times. And it was so frightening that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. And where we are in the space of time, there's going to be some trembling in our future, brother. Before we get to what we are celebrating at this Feast of Tabernacles, and we can see on the news that this world is heading for a crescendo. And if God didn't intervene, there would not be any flesh left alive upon this earth. And because of this, and because of what we see on the horizon, we will see some terrifying sights before this is over. Just as they saw in the days when they were brought out of the land of Egypt. And that was in a localized area for what they saw. but this will be massive. And you and I have a front row seat to see the most awesome sights that man will ever see upon the face of this earth as Satan's world comes to a close. And there has never been a time like this. And we understand that there will be two on the scene to bring the age of Satan to a close. And with that, there will be some awesome sights for the church of God to see as the kingdom of God comes to this earth. Verse 22 tells us that you have come to Mount Zion into the city of the living God, the God of this universe, brethren, the Creator God, the living God, into the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. And I don't think we realize this. In verse 23, let's notice. It is the assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So, I don't think we comprehend who we come before. And with what's on our horizons, it's best that we heed who we are coming before at this Feast of Tabernacles and the power of our God that we will see in our future as the kingdom of God comes to this earth. I hope we can comprehend who we come before at this Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 25, God's word tells us, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth." And let's notice, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. It should strike fear to any of us in the church of God. And I hope we understand who we are and what we have been called to become a part of. And I hope you would fear of even the thoughts of turning away from your God. We have seen some do this, and that makes it perilous times for the church of God. The time is fast approaching when we will see the awesome power of our God coming to deliver a people, his church, the Church of God, PKG. And our minds cannot comprehend the power that we will see. It will come to pass, brethren, and it is in our future. God said it in his book, and his word is true. Verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, "Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." Now this "yet once more" indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, and of things that are made. Let's notice that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Do we just read through this and not grasp what's being said? There will be some who will see the awesome power of our God when he makes his move to deliver his people. There will be some alive, as God says in his book. Verse 28, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and this is at the door, we are almost there." And that's what we are celebrating at this Feast of Tabernacles. We are picturing a time when the kingdom that cannot be shaken will be here upon this earth. And that's what this Feast of Tabernacles represents, a time when the kingdom of God will be established upon this earth. And the rule of our great God in Jesus Christ will be set up upon this earth. And this earth will be ruled for 1,000 years under their rule. And it is a kingdom that will not be shaken. Let's continue on. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And as we see these things approaching, we need to make sure our election is sure, brother. Verse 29 tells us, our God is a consuming fire. And I've said it before, especially where we're at in time, it is not a time to play games with the great God of this universe. We are on a countdown to when this Feast of Tabernacles will be established upon this earth. And it's a time when we look so forward to that kingdom being upon this earth, the kingdom of God. And to see what the prophets, all the prophets long to see. And if you continue to have reverence and godly fear, I hope you understand what you will be privileged to see. To see Jesus Christ coming back to this earth. And what an awesome sight that would be to see that event. And we know by the scriptures that some will live on into the millennial reign of our God in Jesus Christ. And it's awesome what your eyes will see. And it's a privilege to be able to see those sights in the heavens when our God makes his move to deliver his people. A privilege that so many will not see. And I hope you understand what your calling is worth. And I hope you understand who you are coming before at this Feast of Tabernacles and what your God is offering to you. To be a part of his government upon this earth, or to live on into the millennium. And it doesn't make any difference whether you are a part of the 144,000 or you're one of those that live into the millennium. We understand that those that are part of the 144,000 will become spirit beings and become part of God's government upon this earth. Let's turn over to Psalms 25. Psalms 25. And we'll start in verse 1. Psalms 25. And let's see what God had written through David. To you, O Eternal, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Eternal. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Our God has taught us so much that it overwhelms me sometimes just to think about how much more we know since the apostasy that took place in the Church of God. God has shown us his paths for us, the Church of God, through his present truth. And he has led us to the close of this age, when God's kingdom will be established upon this earth in just a short while. Verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me. And that's what we want. For God to teach us his truth. And that's why you're here at this Feast of Tabernacles. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. David wrote, "Remember, O Eternal, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old." And they are. Our God has had a plan from the beginning, and He's had a plan for a Savior to deal with our sins. Verse 7, "Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Eternal. Good and upright is the Eternal. Therefore, He teaches sinners in the way of life that He has laid out for you and me. And the humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way of life, the correct way to live. All the paths of the Eternal are mercy and truth to such as keep His commandments and His testimonies." And that's how we understand what is written in His book, by obedience to God's truth. Verse 11, "For your name's sake, O Eternal, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Eternal?" A question that is being asked. And we look around at the horizon, at what's going to take place upon this earth. We can see it building. We can see the whole world is on alert to bring us into World War III. And this writer is asking a question: who is the man that fears the Eternal? And it better be those that are in the Church of God, PKG, you and me. Because the very next part of this verse tells us, "Him shall He teach in the way He chooses." And you know, brethren, our God is choosing to reveal more about Himself and His Son as we come to the close of this age. Verse 14, "The secret of the Eternal." Let's notice, "The secret of the Eternal is with those who fear Him." And the reason it's a secret is because it's not their time. But God has revealed it to you, brother. Let's notice, "To those who fear Him, He will show them His covenant." In other words, it's the way that God does it. And it's a way of life for you and me that God shows us. And we should fear to live outside of this covenant and to break this covenant. And it's always amazed me to see what people will do. God had it written in His book about Esau, who broke his covenant with God for a bowl of soup. And I've seen some do it for a lot less than a bowl of soup. And I saw a lot of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that take people out of God's way of life. And I've seen it over and over. The secret of the Eternal is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. The ones that are obedient and walk this way of life. Verse 15, "My eyes are ever toward the Eternal, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net." And when we understand it is the great God of this universe where our safety lies, brother. And the closer we get to the end of this age, the more we will realize this is where our safety is. And it is with the great God of this universe. Verse 16, "Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted." That's what David said. "And the troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed." Let's notice, for I put my trust in you. And as we come to the close of this age, we will have to put our trust in God in ways that our mind cannot even imagine at this time. Verse 21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. It's a way of life. And it's a way of life that we should be living with integrity and uprightness. God gave us his laws. God gave us his holy days. God gave us this Feast of Tabernacles in the last great day. And it's a way of life for you and me, so that we can partake of what we are here celebrating at this Feast of Tabernacles. A time when the millennial reign of Jesus Christ will be here, and a kingdom will be set up upon this earth. And it will be a wonderful, wonderful time upon this earth when it takes place. And it says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. And it's exactly what we are doing. We are waiting for our God to deliver us into a new world, a new age, where integrity and uprightness will be the norm. It's something that we cannot find in the world that we live in, Satan's world. And there's not much integrity left in Satan's world. Psalms 25 and verse 22. Let's notice. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. And this is what God is doing. He is getting ready and he is redeeming us out of our troubles into a new world. A new world of integrity and uprightness where the rule of law, God's law, will prevail. A world where we won't have to live with locks on our doors and locks on our windows and locks on our automobiles and whatever else that we may own. It's hard to comprehend, but God says he will redeem us and place us in a new world, his world. Let's turn over just a few pages to Psalm 31 and verse 5. It's just one scripture, but it says a lot about David. And we know David was a man after God's own heart. And let's notice what David said, Psalms 31 and verse 5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. And at first glance, we can just read through this. But it has a lot deeper meaning, because it shows how much David trusted his God. And with our God, it's into his hand that we will have to do the same, just as David did. We have to commit our spirit into his hands, just as he did. David understood, and he said, you have redeemed me, O eternal God of truth. And in the last part of verse 6, David said, I trust in the eternal. Let's turn over a few more pages to Psalms 57. Psalms 57 and verse 1. David trusted his God, and he said in verse 1, be merciful to me, O God. And he said it twice, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. So we can see that David put all his trust in his God. For my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge, until these calamities have passed by. So we can see that David understood where his safety lied, and it was with the great God of this universe. And he had it recorded this way, in the shadow of God's wings. Just like a chicken will put a little chick under the wings to protect it. And this is the analogy that's being used. It's a form of protection. And I will cry out to God, Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. Selah. And Selah means to think about it, brother. Means to think about what is being said. And David understood that it was the great God of this universe that had made a plan to deliver man and to set up his kingdom upon this earth and to save him from the one who would swallow him up. Talking about Satan and the demons and their way of life that is upon this earth that so entices man to sin. And David understood that God would set up his kingdom upon this earth, and that God, the last part of verse 3, God will send forth his mercy and his truth, and it would be established upon this earth. And David understood that there would be a time that this would be done. And in verse 7, we can see what was in David's heart, and he said, My heart, David's mind, better said, My heart is steadfast. And this means unmovable. And it's no wonder David was a man after God's own heart. Oh God, my mind is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. It should bring you and me to our knees to understand where we are in time. To understand what God is getting ready to do upon this earth to bring about this Feast of Tabernacles. And our hearts, our minds, better said, will have to be steadfast just like David's was for what we will see taking place. And we will have to put our trust in God like we have never had to do before. Let's continue on into Psalms. Psalms 91, just a few pages over. Psalms 91 in verse 1. And let's see what God had recorded further in his book. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, let's notice, under the shadow of the Almighty. Just like David said earlier, when he likened it to hiding under God's wings. And this says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we can see that this is talking about a place of safety. And it applies to you and me just as it did David. I will say of the Eternal, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God in Him I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Verse 4. But we can see that this is where our safety lies. And it is in the Church of God PKG at this time. And it is in the shadow of our great God, the eternal God of this universe. That's where our safety lies. And it should bring fear upon anyone to step outside of that shadow, the shadow of God. There's always some that want to play on the fringes. But God will not accept that anymore. As we know, God has been cleansing his church. And he has been measuring the temple. And the church of God will be cleaned up before the return of Jesus Christ because of what we know this book says. And we should realize as we come to the close of this age where our safety lies. And it is with the great God of this universe. Verse 4. Let's notice how God had it recorded. He will cover you with his feathers. It's the analogy that he's using. And under his wings, you will take refuge. His truth, let's notice. God's truth, not our truth, not my truth. It's God's truth. And it's what he's revealing to his church, to his people. And it's his truth. Shall be your shield and buckler. And you will not be afraid of the terror by night. And I can assure you there's coming terror upon this earth. You don't have to have this book to see that it's coming. And I'm afraid that there's so much coming that our mind cannot comprehend it. What man can do to man. We can just look back in the past at the horrific things that have taken place. And with a demon world that will be unleashed, there's never been a time such as there will be as Satan's world is brought to an end. And there will be terror upon this earth. And you will want the protection that we are reading about in God's book. God says you will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. And with the nuclear weapons that we see upon the face of this earth, those arrows that fly through the sky, God says we will not be afraid of the terror that's coming because of what we know if we are obedient. Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness that we can't see. The chemical weapons and the diseases that are out there. Nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. We know that it would be massive if the great God of this universe didn't have a plan to save mankind. And if God didn't intervene, there would be no flesh alive. God says 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. Can we comprehend such a thing? We can apply this spiritually. And I know there have been thousands that have failed at my side. Can we comprehend what we'll see just to understand what our eyes will see at the end of this age? Verse 8. Let's notice what's being said. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. So these eyes will see some awesome sights upon this earth. The culmination of man's wickedness and sins. And there will be a lot of bloodshed at the close of this age to usher in what you and I are here celebrating, the Feast of Tabernacles. And it will be brought about with a lot of bloodshed. And God is very descriptive about what will take place at the end of this age. And if you are privileged to live on into the millennium or to be a part of the 144,000, to be a part of the government of God, either way, with your eyes, you will see the reward of the wicked if you continue in this way of life to obey your God and to become part of Elohim, to be there at the end, to see the reward of the wicked. But as we go through some of these things upon this earth to usher in the kingdom of God upon this earth and to bring Satan's kingdom to an end, I can assure you that you will want to reside in the shadows of our great God. Psalms 92 in verse 1. It's good to give thanks to the Eternal and to sing praises to his name, O Most High. to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, on the harp, with harmonious sounds. For you, eternal, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. So David understood the end of it all. O eternal, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. But you do, brother. God has granted you the ability to understand his plans. Verse 7. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, eternal, are on high forevermore. For behold, your enemies, O eternal, for behold, your enemies shall perish. And we know the end of the story. And we know this is a very true statement. We know at the end of this age that all the wicked will be in the lake of fire. And they will perish forever and ever. Let's go over to Zechariah 8. Zechariah chapter 8. The great God of this universe has had a plan for his church down through time. And in the Church of God, PKG, we understand these things. We understand what God lets us see. And in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 1, we find, again, the word of the Eternal of Hosts came saying, thus says the Eternal of Hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor, I am zealous for her. Thus says the Eternal. Let's notice. I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, the city of peace. And let's notice, that city of peace, Jerusalem, will be called the city of truth. And it will be a wonderful time upon this earth when this takes place. In the world that we live in, it's hard pressed to find anyone that will tell you the truth anymore. But God tells us that Jerusalem, the city of peace, will be called the city of truth. And truth will be established upon this earth. The mountain of the Eternal of Hosts, the holy mountain. That's the way that God says it, and that's the way that God said, had it recorded in his books. And it's where it will be done when Jerusalem, the city of peace, is here. Verse 4. Thus says the Eternal of Hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem. When the city of peace is here upon this earth, that's what it's talking about. When the government of God is here and brings about peace upon this earth, and the millennium is established upon this earth, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. And we understand that this pictures a time when God's kingdom and God's government will be upon this earth. And we understand the 144,000 will be spirit beings and be part of that government. And this will bring about peace to this earth. Peace that mankind has not ever experienced before. Don't turn there. But Isaiah told us there was a time that the children would play by the cobra's hole, and a time when the animals would eat straw, the lion and the ox. And he tells us a time that the nature of the animals will be changed, and that the streets of the city would be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. And we know that during the 100 years that this will take place. And when I came up as a boy, I could play in the streets. But it's not so anymore. It's not, some areas, it's not even safe to let your children play anywhere outside. And that's going to be changed in a short while. Children will be safe. In verse 6 we find, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, and it will be, it's a marvelous thing that will take place. And God asked a question, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Eternal of Hosts. Behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back. And they will dwell in the midst of the city of peace, city of Jerusalem, the city of truth. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. God tells us of a wonderful time upon this earth when truth and righteousness will be restored to the whole earth. And he tells us of a time when a system will be set up upon this earth by which man can begin to learn to live a different way of life, God's way of life, the right way to live. And this will create prosperity upon this earth. And it will produce happiness. And we can see by what God had recorded about old men in the streets, about children playing in safety. And it represents a time of peace, a time when God tells us a time of truth and a time of righteousness where man can learn to live God's way of life, the way that God instructs you and me to live now. Verse 15, so again in these days I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear, these are the things you shall do. Speak each man truth to his neighbor. Can you imagine what this one thing would do? Just this one thing. Just to tell the truth. It would make some awesome changes upon this earth. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. And it's unheard of in Satan's world. We have courts of law that don't even know the meaning of truth and justice. We live in a system of whoever puts on the best show wins. Truth doesn't have much place in our society anymore. But whoever puts on the best show, that's what they call justice. And we have experienced man justice firsthand in the Church of God. And we see how that worked out. But when God sets up his kingdom upon this earth, it will be truth and justice and real peace. We find in verse 17, it even affects the mind because it says, Let none of you think evil in your mind against your neighbor. Better said. And I know most don't even speak to the neighbors anymore, if you even know who they are. Let none of you think evil in your heart, better said mind, against your neighbor. And do not love a false oath, for all these things I hate, says the Eternal. There will be a time upon this earth when the things God hates will be changed. And it will begin to be changed at the time that we are here celebrating. Once Satan and the demons are chained, put in their prison, there will be 1,000 years of doing things God's way, the way he says. Zechariah 8 and verse 20. Thus says the Eternal of Hosts, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying. Let's notice what's taking place. Let us continue to go and pray before the Eternal and seek the Eternal of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many people in strong nations shall come to seek the Eternal of hosts in the city of peace, the city that the great God dwells in his family, Jerusalem, the city of peace, and to pray before the Eternal. So we can see it will be a different time upon this earth. Man's mind will now be able to seek the Eternal God of this universe, to do what we are doing now, to serve God. And the reason they are seeking the Eternal is to learn more about their God. And that's what these will be doing. Seeking to know more about their God. But we have this privilege today in the Church of God, PKG, preparing for this kingdom that is coming to this earth. And God allows you and me understanding about this plan. Let's turn over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we will look at verse 23. John chapter 4 and verse 23. And it's when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And he made this statement in verse 23. Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. God tells us that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Our God is preparing a people for the kingdom of God, and he's doing it through the Church of God, PKG, therefore our name. That's what it means. And he is preparing you for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And he is revealing the truth about himself to a people that will be there during this millennial reign upon this earth. Some to live on into that millennium and some to be a part of the 144,000. And God tells us that he is seeking such to worship him. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And it will take place. And it should strike fear in any of us to have any other thoughts. We should trust our God just as David and all who preceded us that will become part of Elohim has had to do. Jesus told us that he who is of God, hear God. Here's God. God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Jesus told us in John 15, just over a few pages, in verse 26. John 15 and verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And the Spirit of God, that's how we know. Sanctify them by your truth. So it's how you are set aside. Your word is truth. And for your sakes, I set aside myself that they also may be sanctified by or through the truth. So we can see it's how we understand. The Spirit of God through the Holy Spirit. And it's through the mind that God does it. Be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, and we have received so much mercy, we do not lose heart. When we look around at the Church of God, PKG, and what has been revealed to the Church of God, PKG, we can see that mercy that has been revealed. Because of what we understand about our Savior and about our God. And it is mercy that we have received. And we do not lose heart. It becomes exciting. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness. And let's notice, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. For by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And that's who it's veiled to, brethren. Whose God, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, better said mine, shone in our mind to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So how do we value this treasure that is being talked about? This treasure that we received from our God. What is it worth? The treasure that your God has extended to you. So we have to think about these things. We have to think about the value that it is to us. Verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, and we are. It's kind of like being in a pressure cooker. And it's God that's not allowing you and me to be crushed. And without our God, Satan would crush us very quick. It wouldn't take long. And we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, all of us are, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Because of what David said, of being under the feathers, under the wing of the great God of this universe. And he understood that that was why. And that's where his safety, that's where it lied, with God. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing, let's notice, that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, and especially at this Feast of Tabernacles. We are being renewed day by day at this feast, and it's exciting. what God is doing. And this writer said he had a light affliction. But we know that in the space of time that we could put this on the head of a pen. And we only have this for a moment in time, and it will pass. And what we are celebrating will be here, the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory when that kingdom comes to this earth. And this writer understood God's plan. And while we do not look at the things which are seen, and we have to look past these things, these physical things, these things that these physical eyes can see. We have to understand what God is doing, the spiritual creation that He is creating, Elohim. And He's made it known to you what He's creating. And it's through the Church of God, PKG, at this time that He's doing it. So He can bring about a wonderful world. A period of time for 1,000 plus 100 years that we look so forward to, the Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day. A time when man will be at peace and begin to understand more and more about his God. And a way of life that will be here that will bring peace and prosperity to all. So we have to look past the things that are physical. We have to look at the things that are spiritual that are being created. Elohim. And that's where faith comes in, to believe what God had written in His book, to believe that this Feast of Tabernacles will be a reality in just a short while. God says, for the things which are seen are temporary, what we can see with these eyes. That's the temporary part, brother. And the wonderful part, it passes away, and the spiritual will be here. And God tells us that we are like a fading flower. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's hard for the mind to grasp. But it's a wonderful thing to try to understand. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven, our spiritual bodies. And we all desire this, to shed this physical body. And this says so much, brother. I desire to shed this body, and I know you do too. And I look forward to being in that spiritual body without the pain, without the suffering that God says He will do away with. Verse 3. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, we don't need to be found in sin and cut off from our God. And that's what this is talking about. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened. And we are. We are burdened. Not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Real life, brethren. Life in the kingdom of God. Life in the millennial reign on this earth and beyond, when mankind can really live. Really live a life without all the torment. Verse 5. Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us His Spirit as a guarantee. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And that's what He's given to you and me in the mind, that guarantee. And I hope you understand what God is offering you. To be able to become Elohim, and to see the millennial reign upon this earth and beyond. to see mankind come together and learn the correct way to live. Let's turn over to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. God tells us of a wonderful life that he is offering his brethren. A life that will bring about peace upon this earth. And in Colossians 1, in chapter 1, in verse 1, we find, and it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother. And let's notice, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth, the same truth that you and me here, brother, the truth of the gospel, the good news, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled. Let's notice what was taking place and what the reason was. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And just as what they were doing in their day, that's what we are doing in our day. We are here at the Feast of Tabernacles to be filled with the knowledge of God's will and to receive the wisdom that God will give us during this Feast of Tabernacles and the spiritual understanding that he will give to all at his Feast of Tabernacles. And let's notice verse 10. God gives us that understanding that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing, let's notice, in the knowledge of God. The same thing that we are doing at this Feast of Tabernacles, increasing in the knowledge of our God. And it's the same for us. God gave to them the knowledge that they needed in their day. And God reveals to you and me the knowledge that we need about him in our time, in our future. And it's imperative that we understand who God is and who Jesus Christ is. And that's why God reveals more about himself and about his son to his church. Increasing in the knowledge of God and his son. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And it should give us strength. Should give us more strength. All of us should come away from this Feast of Tabernacles much stronger. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And it should bring you to your knees, brother, to understand what God has offered you. Verse 13 tells us, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, and that's what he's done, and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, so that we can become the part of his family, God's family, to become Elohim, to become in the family of God. Verse 15. God tells us that he is the image of the invisible God. It's talking about Jesus Christ, the firstborn over all creation. And we understand that Jesus Christ is the first of the firstfruits, as it said in God's book. And we know that there are those who follow at the beginning of the millennium to become spirit beings, to become part of the government of God upon this earth. Let's turn over to Revelation 14, and let's look at this event. Revelation 14, this is where it's recorded. Revelation 14 and verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb, and we know who this is, standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, and we know who they are, having his Father's name written upon their foreheads or in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And we've just had recent sermons about these living creatures and the elders in the spirit world, and the angels and the spirit creations that God has made. And we see here they are, these four living creatures and the elders. And we see that no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. It's where they came from. And we know who they are. And we know how they were redeemed. We know what they went through. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, talking about the religions of this world, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, brethren, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb, and they are now part of the government of God upon this earth. That's what it pictures. Let's be turning to Matthew 7 and verse 13. And we know that God gives us more understanding about himself. And let's go back and see what God tells us in Matthew 7 and verse 13. Matthew 7 and verse 13. We know these scriptures. We probably know them by heart. But let's go back and see where God had it recorded. And it says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And we know that that's not a hard path to go down. And we know that the gate that we have to pass through is a narrow gate. And we have to pass under the rod. And there are many who go in by the gate of destruction, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. It's not easy, which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Verse 21, God says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, except he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And we have seen so many that have been offered this way of life that God has called. It says, not everyone who said to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And we saw so many go by the wayside. It should bring us to our knees to understand what we have been offered. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, Let's notice. For it was founded on the rock. It's the analogy that is used. But everyone who hears these sayings of man and does not do them, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it's a fearful thing when God is revealing himself to us not to hear our God. And God says, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And let's notice, great was its fall. And we've seen so many go by the wayside. And this is the analogy that God used. Let's turn over to Matthew 12 and verse 31. Matthew 12 and verse 31. We are approaching the close of this age. And it won't be long before the kingdom of God will be upon this earth, and the Feast of Tabernacles will be a reality. God tells us in Matthew 12 and verse 31, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mind, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Matthew 13 and verse 10. The disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given. It's an awesome thing that the eternal God has let you see. He has let you see the mysteries of this book. And it's not their time. But what we are celebrating, this Feast of Tabernacles, it will become their time, brother, when these mysteries will be revealed to them. God says, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. So that's what we are receiving. God says, he will give us more. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear. Nor do they understand. And they don't. It's not their time. But it will be in just a short while. And in the prophecy of Isaiah, it says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. Verse 16. We live in this world where people can hear and not understand. just like what we just read. And it's hard sometimes when it's our families. They can hear, but they don't understand at this time. But it won't be long. And knowing what we know and where we are headed as the Church of God, PKG, we know their ears cannot hear at this time, and they cannot understand. And verse 16 tells us that we are blessed. We are blessed to understand who our God is and what He is doing upon this earth. And God says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, verse 16, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see. We live at the time upon this earth that will be unparalleled in man's history. God tells us there's been many prophets down through the ages, like Daniel, that wanted to see, and God told him to shut up the book and seal it, for it was for a time at the end, when so much about the prophecies of this book would be explained and fulfilled. And there's many that desire to see what some of you will get to see. Daniel wanted to know what the end of it all was. God told him to shut up the book. We live at the end. We know who the witnesses are. We know some of the things that will take place. We know a time frame. God said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. And let's see what God had recorded. And our brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech nor of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, let's notice, in fear, and in much trembling. So, they were not immune to fear in their days. And during Paul's day, he was going through and pulling people like you and me out of their houses and putting them in prison. And Paul treated a lot of our brethren in the past with violence. But we can see that Paul was converted and Jesus Christ got his attention. And here he's saying that his speech and his preachings was not with pervasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. Let's notice what's being said. That's not where our faith should be, in the wisdom of men. But it should be in the power of God. That's where our faith should be. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, let's notice, who are coming to nothing, because there's a new king coming. And there's a kingdom coming to this earth that he will rule over. And God says through his book, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained, let's notice, before the ages of our glory. God had a plan before time ever began, brother. And he's talking about this mystery, the hidden mystery, and the hidden wisdom that God had ordained before the ages, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And God has revealed the deep things about himself and his Son to his church. And it is the deep things of God. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Let's notice. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. It's the only way you can know them, is if you have God's Spirit. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, which is from the great God of this universe, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. It's how you understand because of that Spirit, and it's how you know. These things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And there's no way for anyone without God's Spirit to understand what is taking place at this Feast of Tabernacles, to hear what you are hearing. Verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Eternal, that he may instruct him? That's where your wisdom is coming from. And there is no human that has ever been upon the face of this earth that could instruct God. Let's notice, we have the mind of Christ, God's mind. And it's how you know these things. It's through this mind that God has allowed you. But there's a great battle that takes place for your mind. And we are in a spiritual war, and we understand this. We understand that we are in the battle of our life for our life, for our spiritual life. And when we are in the heat of the battle, all have some fear. Just like we read about those of old, they had some fear. And it's wise if you and me have some godly fear and listen to what our God is teaching us. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ, let's notice, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required. It's not optional, brethren. God says it's required. And it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So it's required that you and me are faithful in the things that God reveals to us. And God tells us, as we just read, that narrow is the gate that we have to pass through. And Jesus said in Luke 18, if you just want to note it, will I find faith on the earth when he returns? And we know that there will be some that made themselves ready. But Jesus also said, would he find faith upon the earth when he returned? So, it's vital that each of us heed the messages that God is teaching us at this Feast of Tabernacles. Let's turn over to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 and verse 1. And let's notice what God had written a long, long time ago through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 54 and verse 1. Sing, O barren, you have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Eternal. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. for you shall expand. Let's notice what's being said. To the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. Verse 5, let's notice. For your Maker is your husband. The Eternal of Hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. So it puts it in order, doesn't it, brother? He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Eternal has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. Like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. Let's notice verse 7. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy upon you, says the Eternal, your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains will depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness will not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Eternal, who has mercy on you. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundation with sapphires. It's talking about beautiful and precious stones. So it's a beautiful thing that God is doing. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. So it's a beautiful creation that God is doing. All your children will be taught, let's notice, by the Eternal, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you will be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. Those who have an ear to hear, heed what the Holy Spirit says to the church through the Scriptures. In Isaiah 2 and verse 2. So we can see that God is creating a beautiful creation. His family, Elohim. Isaiah 2 and verse 2 we find. Once we get through the horrific events that will take place, we can see a wonderful time upon this earth and a wonderful creation at the end of it all that we just read about. God says, just before the millennium and at the end of this age, something will begin to happen. It shall come to pass in the latter days, it's where we're at, that the mountain of the Eternal's house shall be established on top of the mountains, talking about the nations, the cities, the governments, and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations will flow to it, and many people will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Eternal, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem, the city of peace, where God will dwell, where truth will come from, and he will judge between the nations, rebuke many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and neither will they learn war anymore. So we can see a beautiful time upon this earth. Once we get through the destruction, man will finally be at peace. And nations will not be at war anymore, brethren. And all men can learn, they can begin to learn to live a different way of life that will bring about peace. Psalms 84, A Wonderful Time Upon This Earth. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Eternal of Hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Eternal. We sing this in a song, so most of us know it by heart. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Eternal of Hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will be praising you. Selah means to think about it. In verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Eternal God is a sun and shield. The Eternal will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. As we just saw with the way God described it, with the precious jewels in his creation. O Eternal of Hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And it will be a wonderful time when the kingdom of God is upon this earth. And in Psalms 85 in verse 10, we will finish up for the last scripture. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Eternal will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps our pathway. So, brethren, have a wonderful Feast of the Tabernacles and make his footsteps your pathway.